Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to start the show and talk about the sports we saw. Inside jokes and takes from Danger and Battaglia. Bills and the Sabres and the Amherst. Who gave a microphone to these jerks? G's a big timer, a social misfits. Clueless to the title of the biggest buskhead hits. Yeah. Chuck Muncie's goons have the last say, so thanks for your time, Mr. Mayo. Danger likes his cold ones and he likes his bears. But this is Rochester, cute Francesca.
Oh, kiss.
He's critical of Sean, he's critical of Al.
Of course he married Sandy, cause she's Italian.
Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. With Danger and Battaglia.
You know, for at least one afternoon in the Flower City, this will be the best dressed show on Rochester Radio. Welcome into the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on a victory Tuesday.
I always said we were the best looking sports talk
show. I won't go
show
that far.
In Rochester.
Well, a couple of things. We're the only sports talk show in Rochester.
Stop.
I won't go as far as best looking, but today we will take the crown as best dressed. What's your excuse?
What's my excuse? I wanted to look good for PJ Glasser today.
What's your real excuse?
Well, I wanted to go down.
You were on BetQL Send Today with PJ Glasser earlier talking Bills.
Yeah, and that was it. And I had Fisher, and I wanted to make it over to RIT Media Day. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. So I was just kind of out and about today trying to sell things.
I was at the Strath Allen for the New York State Broadcasters Association luncheon, a very prestigious luncheon with all of our colleagues in broadcast television and radio.
Yes.
Yeah, and just dishing out awards, just handing them out. Just here, you get an award, you get an award, you get an award. And I'm very, very proud of all the award recipients from today's luncheon. But Gene, when I tell you, I'm ready to roll up my sleeves, pal. I'm ready to, you got the top button unbuttoned, I've got mine unbuttoned. It's 3 hours of sports talk in front of us.
It's 3 hours.
Rolling up the sleeves.
Taking your calls. I want just everybody right off the top to know what a good guy Mike Danger is. Okay, so we're leaving the show on Friday. Mind you, we didn't have a show Monday because of Bill's pregame. Leaving the show on Friday, the rare Friday night, I didn't have to work. And you didn't have to work, actually, because there was NASCAR on the CW, so you had no high school football.
You know what I did, though, Friday night? I scouted. I went on a scouting mission.
Like that's dedication.
That's dedication to the craft, pal. You know what? I don't have the years of play-by-play and color analysis that you have. So I want to know. I want to be prepared. And I know that this Friday is a big game. Big game in Hilton.
McQuaid at Hilton. That's where we'll be this week. So there's Mike Danger doing his thing. Did I show that professionalism? No.
Well, look, I had an excuse. My daughter wanted to hang out with her friends. And Rush Henrietta was a team that we had just seen take McQuaid to the final gun at the opening of their new stadium. And I wanted to see how real Rush Henrietta looked against Hilton and how real Hilton looked in advance of this Friday's game against McQuaid.
So sometimes I'm just oblivious to taking certain cues because we're talking off air and then I'm just like, hey, yeah, I'm actually going to go out to dinner tonight. My in-laws are going to take us out for our 25th. Where are you going? I'm going, so-and-so. So on the way out, Danger again asked, and you're kind of a foodie, and that's what I thought. So where are you going again tonight? I'm going to the place in Spencerport.
Oh, yeah,
tonight,
I got to check that place out at some point.
Yeah, I got to get it. So sit down. They seat us on time, very excited to be there, and our server comes over and says, oh, this is the table where you're celebrating your 25th. And they server looks at my in-laws. They're like, no. It's celebrating the 25th. Oh, yes. We had a phone call.
You look so young, they couldn't tell that you were the one celebrating your 25th anniversary.
That must be it.
That's exactly what happened.
This is a gift from Mike Waters and Sandy.
Oh, they botched it.
I'm like, wait a second. Who is Mike Waters? Sandy Waters. So you figured it out. I was not taking the cues. I went out to dinner, and sometimes I'll do this. I'll leave my phone at home. So now I'm feeling pretty guilty because this comes over, and there's
leave your phone at home. No phone policy when you're out on your 25th anniversary.
Yeah. So somebody needs a phone, I would think, just in case the car is not working or whatever it is. So I felt bad. I didn't, text you thanks until like 9:30, 10 o'clock. But that wanted everybody to know what a good dude you were, buying us a bottle of wine, not a box of wine. You go out to dinner, you're having a bottle of wine.
I mean, I asked them if they serve boxed wine. They said no. And they almost hung up on me. You guys are the best. You and the executive producer setting a role. You're an example for us to follow. 25 years of married bliss, and you're out with your in-laws. I didn't want to show up your in-laws, but I thought, this would be a nice little gesture from me and Sandy. A happy anniversary bottle of wine to you and the executive producer to kick off a night that, you're right, you don't get many of those nights. Gino, enjoy that night. Have
fantastic.
As much fun as you can absolutely have. Don't worry. I'll watch Hilton. Hold on for a win against Rush Henrietta on Friday night in Hilton. And this Friday night's going to be fantastic. Hilton and McQuaid. And I know that I know that we're going to have some fun through the course of the week. I'm not going to do this when we do the game, but there's a player for Hilton who sealed the victory against Rush Henrietta with an interception at the end. And I'm not going to mention his last name because I don't know if he wants his last name mentioned. But I will say it does end in a vowel. And, of course, he ended the game on an interception because he's Italian, Gino.
West Side Italian winning the game? I've never heard of such a thing. Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. I asked him how many hours of sleep he got. I'm not sure. We're all kind of like, but it's a good, hey, I didn't get enough sleep last night.
Yeah.
And we'll be joined in the 4 o'clock hour by Michael F. Florio. We lovingly call him just F.
Uh-huh.
From the NFL Network. As a lot of fantasy issues, tight end concerns. Are the Panthers for real? What do you do about some of the other teams? Boy, the Commanders, all of a sudden, is that for real, too?
Oof.
Wow.
If you're like me and you weren't at the game last night, you flipped over to that Commanders-Bengals game. I mean, first of all, it couldn't have happened to a team better than the Bengals. I mean, wow, you're at home, Monday Night Football, you're hosting the Commanders, and Jaden Daniels just lights you up. Jaden Daniels is for real. For real. If you're in the NFC East right now, Mike McCarthy just pooped down his leg watching that kid throw against Cincinnati last night. Making plays with his feet, making plays with his arm. I mean, the guy is spectacular. You got one, Washington.
For a fan base. And you and I know Commander fans.
Your My brother-in-law.
Yeah, like you've gone through way more than many fan bases. Things you have nothing to do about.
Right.
But somehow, because this was the team, and it goes back for a lot of people to Joe Gibbs and a good way to play football, and that was a lot of fun back then. And then, the Ken Cook dies, and you have a creep owner, and it's been decades.
It's been embarrassing. If you're a fan, you're embarrassed to say I'm a fan of that team for how long? And so, I texted my brother-in-law Garrett. I'm like, the Bengals are not a good team, but Washington is fun. The Commanders are fun. Like the touchdown pass to the offensive lineman, the deep shot to Terry McLaurin. I mean, you're getting him. Just Jaden Daniels is real. The Commanders are fun. And now, if you're a Commanders fan, you can be proud of your team again. You can be excited about your team again. I loved it.
Could be, that streak of we have a new winner every year in the NFC East. So we'll talk to Michael F. Florio coming up at 4:25. 866-4FAN, 866-4326 is our phone number.
We have so much to get to, and you mentioned the phone number, Gino. You can also reach out to us on X at the Fan Rochester. The regulars are already chiming in on our work attire today, looking like, you know, Chris saying that we're looking like we're ready to pull off an Ocean's 11-type heist. Greg, Chuck Munchia, Pat on X. I thought you were all dressed up for the chili cook-off. That's coming up on Thursday. That's coming up Thursday, Greg. Don't get it mixed up here. No, we're appreciative of you checking out the video stream right now on Twitch, also on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester, and you can always find us in the free to download Odyssey app, where we are sounding our very best and looking our very best as well. Wow, where do we start, Gino?
Where do we start? I was going to say, look what I saw last night. Two drives in, they're winning this game. If you were with us last week and talking to, you know, when we talked to Mia O'Brien, and she's talking about the friction on the offensive staff and how the play calling, where was it going to go through? And it's like you brought up vibes, and I'm thinking, boy, I don't know if this team is actually going to figure it out in Buffalo. And that's when the light bulb went off. I mean, like, no, this feels like this could be a comfortable Bulls win, but I don't think any of us had 47-10 being the margin. And sometimes the simplest, most obvious thing we don't state but needs to be said, and it's this. What's going to take for the Buffalo Bills to get to where they want to go? Josh Allen playing at an MVP level.
See those odds move after last night's game?
He is the favorite. Yep. I went on with PJ Glasser today, and he asked me, is plus 200 good value for Josh Allen? I'm like, PJ, I'll leave that to you to determine whether or not, you know, the odds make sense. But I'm going to tell you this. There's no reason to think all of a sudden it's going to go in the other direction. That's the first time Josh Allen has gone three consecutive games without throwing an interception. Josh Allen is playing good football. No, check that. He's playing great football right now.
Smart. He's playing smart. He's playing smart with his decisions. We knew that he had all the physical ability. We saw it on display, you know, the entirety of his career. What you're seeing that's different this year is a connection with Joe Brady and a quarterback who's now taking what the defense gives him, playing smart. I mean, you know, the play in the red zone where he rushes ahead and doesn't bowl over the guy, instead slides inside the 10-yard line. Mm-hmm. Live to play another down. He's playing smart. Four touchdown passes in the first half alone. 263 yards, no interceptions. You mentioned it. Six rushes, 44 yards, 307 yards of total offense. And I don't think he got hit once. Maybe rushed once. But the offensive line is mauling. They continue to protect him. He is playing smart, taking what the defense is giving him. And Joe Brady has been on point so far this season. He's had the perfect schemes, the perfect play calls. He's countered every defense that's been thrown his way. And you're right, Gino. You know, whereas in week two on that Thursday night against Miami, I still felt uneasy. They had the lead, but I still felt uneasy. Last night, zero anxiety. Zero. I mean, Jacksonville is bad. I didn't think they were that bad. They're bad.
They're now so bad that would it surprise anybody one more loss? Hey, Peterson, you're out. Like, if the owner was laying these expectations that this is the best team we've ever had, you're 0-3. Can't be the best team you've ever had. You had a team that was the number one seed way back when with Coughlin. That's a bad formula. But to me, I just see a quarterback in Trevor Lawrence right now that looks lost, that has regressed.
I see a team and a quarterback that's quit. They've quit on their coach. They've quit on the current regime. Somewhere, something happened. There's not a belief. There's not a buy-in. You mentioned vibes. You can look around the league right now, and you can see vibes happening with certain teams. The vibes in Cincinnati, not great, right? Like, I've got Bengal fan friends who are blaming Joe Burrow today. Oh, Joe Burrow hasn't won any games this year. Oh, Joe Burrow is a fraud. Joe Burrow, you know, look, Joe Burrow has been a nice deodorant for the constant in Cincinnati, which is that your franchise is dysfunctional. It starts at the top, and you have an owner who has mismanaged his star players. Yes, you paid your quarterback, but you've got some bad vibes with your wide receiver room. You've got a T. Higgins on the franchise tag, the only player in the league playing on the franchise tag. You've got Ja'Marr Chase saying, I felt like I was misled, and I'm not going to want to extend with Cincinnati. You've got bad vibes.
Yeah.
You've got bad vibes in Jacksonville. You can look around the league, and you can find teams that are struggling right now, and the vibes are bad for one reason or another. The opposite is true in Buffalo. There are zero bad vibes right now. You have every reason to be worried when you look at the amount of injuries, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But, man, when you see the team singing Mr. Brightside during an intermission and everybody is into it, the fans are into it, the players are into it, they're winning, they're having fun, they're playing for each other, the vibes in Buffalo right now are the best in the NFL.
Does this feel different, though? Because, okay, you say they beat the Ravens, and the storyline will be this. There's Nick Wright. Hey, you're the September champs again. Does this feel different? And I would point back to Allen. That feels different. And the makeup of the offense this year is certainly way different as well. We got a sneak peek last year. Diggs was still on the roster. But the fact that 10 different Bills caught a pass last night, the fact that 6 different players scored a touchdown. I mean, when you have everybody that involved and contributing, we hear this from coaches all the time. Oh, it's important, 1 to 53 or whatever, 47 that dress. It is that true. It's the whole 53. So one of these weeks, I'm anticipating, and it could be this week against the Ravens. Boy, that's the week where it would have been nice to have Bernard and also Milano and Taron Johnson.
Yeah.
But the idea that it hasn't shown up yet, how is that even possible that the Bills haven't missed Matt Milano?
I won't go as far as to say that right now they're the best team in the NFL, but I will say that the vibes remain the best in the NFL.
Oh, wait a second. Haven't you looked at power rankings? Pro Football?
No.
Talk, power rankings.
I'm not looking at those. I'm not looking at those. But the vibes, they have the best vibes right now. Last night, Keon Coleman. Benched Keon Coleman, yes. By the way. Benched Keon Coleman. Gets in the game. Catches his first NFL touchdown. 24 yards from Allen in the second quarter. Ray Davis getting his first NFL touchdown in the fourth quarter with Mitch Trubisky behind center. Both Javon Solomon, Jamarcus Ingram getting their first NFL sack. Let's not forget about DeMar Hamlin. DeMar Hamlin getting his, I was kind of shocked. This was his first NFL interception. He played all those games in 2022. His first NFL interception, which led to another Bills touchdown just a few moments later. So you have all of these firsts happening, and all of these guys, whether it's Ingram or Lewis or Hamlin or now Coleman and Davis, everybody contributing, everybody getting in on the act. Literally everybody eats. Khalil Shakir still hasn't dropped a target. It's amazing to watch. And right now, this team, their vibes are off the chart. Unbelievable vibes. I'm not saying that they're the best team in the NFL because it is a week-by-week league. And as good as they looked last night, Baltimore could punch them in the mouth and they might not be ready for it. Derrick Henry is a different kind of running back, and they might not. Their undersized linebackers might not be ready for that, or Cam Lewis might not be ready for that. We'll see.
Yes.
We'll see.
Yes.
But the vibes are fantastic right now. You cannot complain. And after a Monday night, that's one that we'll all remember. I mean, that was an absolute undressing of their opponent. And right now in Jacksonville, the talk in Jacksonville is fire everybody. This is an embarrassment. That was the worst game that they've seen in Jacksonville in a very long time.
Yeah. My gosh. The fact that Josh Allen, 4 touchdown passes, first half, first since Roethlisberger 2017, they throw up that graphic. Waiting patiently, batting leadoff, Tim in San Diego. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Gene. Hi, Danger.
Hey, buddy.
Gene, I'm wondering, when is HFL on the schedule this year, possibly, in your high school football broadcast? Because I hope it doesn't smell like manure like it did last time.
Whoa, what a memory.
Good pull.
Actually, no. I don't think.
I don't think we go to HFL this year.
No, no. They can call an audible at some point, but.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, they're 3-0, so they're playing pretty well right now. I'm just saying. But you basically just hit everything. You nailed everything. It's really the addition by subtraction. I just think that you see Josh Allen just having fun. he doesn't have that pensive look on his face like he did the past couple of years, because he didn't have to, you know, he had to worry about if Diggs was going to get his and all that. And you're like what you've said in the open, I'm just, everybody's eating, everybody's having fun. It's a really good time right now. But again, addition by subtraction, Diggs being gone, it's changed the team totally as far as the environment, the attitude, the personality. It's I think that really, by getting rid of him, has helped this team immensely.
It's cliche and it goes up on a motivational poster, but we is greater than me. I mean, that's kind of like the way I look at it now. If you're somebody that subscribes to addition by subtraction here with Diggs moving on, and by the way, hey, week five is right around the corner. You got Baltimore and then you've got Houston. You've got the rematch. You've got Diggs returning back in to, you know, against Buffalo. That's going to be, the next 2 weeks are going to be a test, and it's a week-to-week league. That's why I can't say right now, yeah, they're the best team in the league. I don't know who the best team in the league is right now. It's too tough to tell in a league that it's week by week.
Yeah, Tim, thank you for the call. Great job, as always. 585-866-4326. Doesn't even matter, though, honestly. Like, hey, the Bills are the best team, or Kansas City is the best team. Or this is the storyline. You're in the conversation. Like, Danger, things that we didn't think we'd be talking about. Some said, no, the Bills aren't going to win the division, yourself included.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it. We can also talk, all right, this keeps going. Could the Bills actually have a good seeding in the postseason?
All that matters now is January. I mean, if you are going to play at this level and you're going to dispatch of inferior opponents week in and week out and stack those wins, you get a good seeding, you get into the postseason in January. Now, it's really, that's what it comes down to, because we've seen this movie before. Right, we've seen this team get off to hot starts, and you know, you brought up Nick Wright. Like, Nick Wright will have that one holstered.
It's coming.
Yeah, you
it's
get ready coming, for yeah. it, because this is, you know, kind of like par for the course.
You don't want to own it.
Yeah,
when it does happen, be like, yep, okay. What were we supposed to do? Lose a game on purpose? Yeah, we're 4-0 after the win over the Ravens.
That's right.
Yeah, and then you just kind of move on. And to hear Allen kind of put it in that context last night, like, great, fantastic.
Yeah, week by week league. They understand it. They're not, you know, looking ahead. They know what's in front of them. And your hope is that from a talent standpoint and from a coaching standpoint, that they have the answers for what Baltimore is going to try and dish out. They've had a pretty good recent history against Baltimore. We'll of course, talk that up here as we get closer and closer to the weekend. And one of the guys that we'll talk to about it is joining us next, as a matter of fact. Matt Parrino, covering the Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard. You can read his work at syracuse.com. He's going to join us next. We'll get his recap from last night. We'll start to look ahead to Sunday night in Baltimore as the Bills look to move to 4-0 with a win on Sunday night in Baltimore. Matt Parrino next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Buffalo at 3-0 following the demolition of the Jaguars, 47-10. 10 different players caught a pass from Josh Allen. 6 different players scoring a touchdown. Allen on everyone getting involved.
It's a fun and wonderful thing when you got a bunch of guys that don't care about the stats. They don't care about the touchdowns. And again, I think throughout practice, we've just had this mindset of like, hey, let's just do things the right way and find ways to win football games. That's what we're doing right now.
The Bills a 2.5-point underdog for their next game at Baltimore. We'll talk to Matt Parrino, Syracuse Post Standard in the Shout podcast. Matt joins us next here in the Sports Bar. Brett Favre today testifying on Capitol Hill, Favre revealing he has Parkinson's. Yankees host the Orioles tonight. The Yankee magic number to clinch the best record in the American League is down to 3. Mets and Braves tonight begin a 3-game series. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, The Fan Rochester.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Fresh from a memorable Monday night in Orchard Park, covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard, Syracuse.com. Our buddy Matt Perino stops in for his usual Tuesday afternoon check-in. And Matt, after last night, I don't know that I would say that the Bills are the best team in the NFL. It's a week-by-week league, and I feel like that changes on a week-by-week basis. But as of right now, I don't know that there's a team in the NFL that has better vibes around them than the Buffalo Bills. They certainly feel like that they are the best team in terms of good spirit and vibes right now.
Yeah, and I think like it's a continuation of last season. It's something that, like, I don't know if we spent enough time this offseason talking and diving into this, and maybe we have. I mean, we had 9 months to talk about it. It probably came up on some show or some podcast or some radio spot. But, like, the Bills were so good when they made the shift over to Joe Brady last year down the stretch. I mean, if you think about it, in the regular season, they're 9-1 now with him at the helm, and the way that they found ways to reinvent themselves last year, I think that that was a big reason why I was still so bullish on this team being so good. And the other piece of it too, Bobby Babich has been really good, right? Like, they've had two straight games where they take, you know, top tier quarterbacks, or at least quarterbacks who should be top tier. We were going over it on the show last night. The first three quarterbacks the Bills have faced all ranked top 10 in the NFL in average annual salary. I mean, these guys that teams that have paid, and whether or not that was a good decision, we can probably talk about that. But Bobby Babich is doing a good job getting this team at all three levels ready to play, and it's allowing Sean McDermott, I think, to settle back into running this team at a 30,000-foot view, and I think that's good for everybody involved. And I think, you know, Joe Brady, the determination to be a physical, run-oriented team, that's something 3 years ago that I think people scoffed at when, you know, Brian Daboll talked about it and there was this idea that maybe Sean McDermott was overstepping. I think Sean McDermott, you know, maybe was a little bit ahead of things, wanting to create a dual-threat offense, not only to have a running game that you can lean on, but also allow Josh Allen to operate in the space that he has throughout the first three games of the season. I mean, it's no coincidence that they're running the ball the way that they are, and he's been so efficient with the ball in his hands as a passer. I think it all kind of comes together, and you're right. Like, the vibes around this team right now, dating back to when we, you know, unpacked our cars and loaded into the dorms at St. John Fisher, have been off the charts positive.
Yeah, Matt, the one thing with Allen, we always know that he can make plays from every angle, certainly physically gifted, but just his decision-making, if you can talk about that. And there's one play in particular last night where, you know, the Bills are driving. They're driving toward the press box end of the field, and there's Josh Allen running inside the 10, and he could have made a decision to lower the shoulder, maybe take on a defender, and, you know what, I'm just going to slide here. We're just going to have another down. They eventually punch it in anyways. Like, what has changed for Allen in that regard, where this is everything that Bills fans would have been hoping for, that, hey, if you took what you saw physically and with the decision-making, I think this is just about as much as you could hope for here, Matt.
Yeah, I think actually the last two games, it's weird. Like, you don't want to be dealing with an injury, but I wonder how much that injured left hand has maybe even made him more hyper aware of being safe as he can be when he does leave the pocket and not putting himself in a spot to take extra hits or to put that hand in jeopardy. I mean, it's obviously something that's still bothering him to the extent that he's doing right-handed,
yeah,
backhanded handoffs in the game. He doesn't even want to hand the ball off with that left hand. So that's something that I think is a part of it. But also, if you go back to last season, when Joe Brady, the first few press conferences, he was emphasizing over and over again, my goal is to get Josh Allen to embrace being bored when he's back there, taking the checkdowns, not always trying to do everything on every play. And honestly, I think that was a year-long process, or almost a year-long process, that we're now just starting to see the fruits of the labor. And it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to practice it, to execute it, and have it become who you are. And we're seeing there's still big-time plays to be made. And as Josh Allen becomes this lethal short and intermediate area quarterback, I think the deep part of the field is going to open up even more, especially as some of the guys that haven't really gotten themselves really asserted into this offense yet. I think of a guy like Curtis Samuel, who I thought could be a bit more of a weapon down the field, maybe even like a Dawson Knox, or, you know, he's kind of been an afterthought through the first three games of the season. MVS has had a couple of targets. Thought he kind of had a borderline drop yesterday. It was a tough play. But, you know, when you have those opportunities, when you see Khalil Shakir through three games, 14 targets and 14 catches, you want Valdez-Scantling to come away with that. So I think there's opportunities to scale it up in certain spots. And you're going to have to be different week to week. You know, you guys were talking going into the break about, you know, it's about to get a lot tougher. I mean, they're going to go on the road three straight weeks against three really good football teams, in the Ravens, the Texans, and then the Jets. And so they're going to be tested. All three of those defenses are really good. I think they're facing probably the worst of the bunch this weekend. That's how good I think the Jets and the Texans defenses are. But on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, it is going to be an absolute physical game. They're already down two starters on defense. You start to kind of look through this thing, three if you count Matt Milano, I guess. How does this thing shape up? And, you know, can Baylen Spector step up after what I think was a little minor step back after a really good game against Miami, coming in for Bernard? You know, he's going to have to be a big piece of what they do. Luckily for him, Dorian Williams is playing at a high level, especially in coverage, guys. I mean, that 84.4 coverage grade, I mean, Tyrell Dotson only had two games last season where he put up over an 84 grade in coverage in a game. And that's what they needed. They needed a guy to come and fill in for Matt Milano and do a little bit of what Tyrell Dotson did in coverage for them, which was totally unexpected. And I think Williams has played really well, especially this last game.
Matt, I want to go back to the left-hand injury for Josh Allen and give a little bit of shine to the offensive line up front, because last night Allen, you know, didn't get sacked once. I don't think he got hit in the Miami game once either. I mean, these guys are mauling, whether it's pass protection for Allen. And I wonder if how much of that left hand is like, hey, guys, keep me protected because I don't want to take a hit. Because the left hand, you're not doing backhanded handoffs unless that left hand is bothering. Like, we don't know the extent or the severity of that injury, and it's not affecting his game, luckily. But that offensive line has just been amazing at protecting him the last couple of weeks.
I mean, all the way across the board, and you have another, like, you know, situation similar to Ed Oliver. You know, you remember when he got that extension and we were talking about, okay, was this a little bit too early? Is he going to live up to this contract? Then he goes out last season, has 9.5 sacks, and he probably left a little bit out there. You probably would have liked a little bit more. But if you want to talk about a guy that had an impact as a pass rusher, somebody that you could rely upon in the run game and is still kind of arrow up, that was a really good contract. And now you look at those contracts, and he's fallen all the way outside of the top 10, or I believe there, at least maybe he's on the fringe there. And that's huge. And you look at Spencer Brown, I think that deal, when you look at it, I think he comes in at number 8 AAV for right tackles. That is going to get, you know, blown up over the next, like, 12 months to 16 months. And Spencer Brown's been arguably the best pass-blocking offensive lineman in all of football through the first 3 weeks of the season. I mean, think back to that summer when we were talking about the future is like, can Spencer Brown get over this back injury? Is this going to be a long-term thing? Is he ever going to be relied upon as a full-time starter? And the Bills had this belief in him over and over and over again. He has, I think it was 35 pass rush snaps yesterday without allowing a pressure. He hasn't allowed a single pressure all season long. He's been as good as anybody in the league, and we know what Deion Dawkins brings you every week. There's a lot of concern about David Edwards. He's been really consistent, and Connor McGovern has flipped over to center and been absolutely great in front of Josh Allen. And Torrance had a little bit of a slow start, but I thought he really bounced back this week, especially in pass pro. He was the highest graded guy on Pro Football Focus this week. I haven't gone back and watched the whole game yet, but what I did watch, I was zeroing in on Torrance a little bit, and it looks like he's more comfortable. He's settling in a little bit more. It'll get tougher, like I mentioned. You know, Quinnen Williams on the schedule in a couple weeks. I mean, Torrance, all eyes will be on Torrance and Edwards and McGovern, but so far, so good.
Yeah, we're talking to Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard. The Shout podcast is a lot of fun, shorter week. Baltimore, they were the number one seed last year in the AFC Championship game at home. Matt, is this a game where, gosh, the backups here have been playing so well for Buffalo, Baylen Spector and Cam Lewis and Jamarcus Ingram, and you mentioned Dorian Williams, but is that the fear this week that as good as they've been playing, seeing a read option potentially of Henry and Lamar here might be just too much?
You know, I don't think it'll be too much. I think Sean McDermott historically has been really good against Lamar, and you know they had some success early, and I think that you know it's an adjustment driven league, and I think Sean McDermott is as good as any coach in the league at adjusting. So if it doesn't go well early on in the game, I think he figures out a way to maybe change things up a little bit. We saw this last week, Baltimore get out to that big lead, and you think that they're just going to boat race Dallas, and all of a sudden in the last drive they have a chance to kind of come back and maybe win that game. And so this is a Baltimore team that has its own kind of issues. I think Zay Flowers is an excellent player, a real ascending wide receiver, young rising star. Problem is he's going up against a team that has that features maybe the best cornerback duo in the NFL right now, for my money. I mean, Christian Benford, he looks like a superstar, guys. I mean, quarterbacks are not even testing him. And when they do, it looks absolutely scary for that team. And there was one throw that Lawrence had in that game yesterday. I think it was to Brian Thomas Jr. on the outside. And I think the only reason Benford didn't pick that off is because when he went to jump, he kind of like slipped on his back leg a little bit. He's as good as it gets. So I think from a passing perspective, there's potential for them to struggle. I'll be interested to see how the Bills, you know, how they deploy their talent in this game on the defensive side in the front seven. They've leaned on that dime package. Do you want to do that in the run game and lean on Cam Lewis now in that slot spot? I almost think Jamarcus Ingram is a little bit better of a tackler than Lewis just because of his size. I wonder if we don't see a little bit more of a split there, even on non-dime looks, maybe getting Ingram in as that third, hybrid linebacker, if you will, just because he's been so good in coverage, and I think he's a little bit more physical in the box. Not more physical. Cam Lewis is very physical, too, but I just think that, like, as a secure tackler because of his size, gives him a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, I want to conjure up an image of Taron Johnson running back a pick six in a playoff game, and I'm curious, Matt, if we have any insight as to when he or Bernard may be available again. They made the decision not to put these guys on IR, and that would have cost them at least four games. But we're getting up on that four-week threshold. Any updates? Are we hearing anything about either of their returns?
We are going to hear from Sean McDermott in about an hour and 20 minutes. So that'll be our first big update on Taron. I am not very bullish on him. I mean, I've gotten a lot of questions about this, DMs, the insider text line, like, what are we thinking about the possibility of Baltimore, Taron Johnson making his return? A, the Bills are notorious for not rushing guys back. And B, I just don't think where they ruled him out, and he hasn't practiced yet at all, to get him back on maybe a limited basis in a walkthrough on Wednesday and then two quick practices Thursday and Friday before a road game against the Baltimore Ravens, the defending number one seed, like you mentioned. I just think that's a little bit too quick of a timeline, but we don't have a true update on him. He was walking around in the locker room yesterday, looked pretty good, looked in good spirits from what I noticed. But my guess is still that, you know, the goal to me is probably more Houston than it is Baltimore. But, you know, crazy things have happened before.
Yeah. Is Von Miller in a good spot here to make all these incentives? When he redid the contract, I'm thinking, well, he's doing the team a solid by not. I don't think it's a crazy question now to ask what we've seen here out of the first three games.
Yeah, I mean, he might. It's so far so good. I think that he's had some advantageous matchups in the first three games, and I'm not downplaying his start because he has been really good. But, I mean, if you want to talk about the weakness of these three teams that they started with, I mean, you could point to the offensive line and you could point to the tackles. I think both of these teams, Austin Jackson a couple weeks ago, just looked like he couldn't do anything to figure out how to stop somebody. I thought the tackles, Cam Robinson, they gave a load of money to that guy, and he was a turnstile, no matter who was rushing against him. I think A.J. Epinesa gave him the business in the third quarter. So, listen, it's all great things for Von Miller. The way that he started the season, the fact that he has three sacks, the fact that he's getting really good pressure, he looks like he's – that quickness and that speed and that burst is back. But I'm also not going to sit here and say that, you know, overreact to a three-game stretch because we just – it's too much. He's older. He's fresh. How does his body hold up throughout the course of the season? I'm not all the way there yet, but I will say – I really thought throughout the summer it was a weird vibe around Von. Like his general tone, demeanor. He's always this happy-go-lucky. Everything's positive, and he just seemed down in the dumps. Like almost like he, in hindsight, maybe just like, you know, hiding in the weeds, waiting for his chance to kind of just announce his return to relevance. And he's started to come back out of his shell a little bit. The positivity is there. So I think that's a good thing that you're seeing a guy that feels like he's back. The confidence seems to be there. But still a long season to go. A
couple of things on Vaughn. He was wearing the autographed cap again on the sideline.
Oh, was he?
He was wearing it again, man. I know I brought it up last week. And also, this was reported when he signed his, when he restructured his deal, that the idea that he is going to get incentives for stacking sacks throughout the course of the season. I mean, right now, he's earned at least $1 million in incentives with his two sacks. He get another sack, and that'll push him up to at least $2.5 million if he gets to four sacks. And again, I'm kind of like watching this through the course of the season and saying to myself, Vaughn's going to try and get that money by doing what he does best, and through three games, he's done it well.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to look for his chances to cash in, for sure. And I think that if it ends up happening for the Bills, then it's in, you know, late game situations, important situations. I mean, all the better. I mean, that sack against Arizona was huge. I wouldn't argue that the sack against Miami was super impactful from shutting them down and holding them down. I mean, their offense couldn't do anything even before Tua was injured. But again, he was signed to be a second half, fourth quarter closer. And if you can get a guy in that spot with what it looks like you're getting from Rousseau and Epinesa to fill that role once again, that's huge. And guys, I don't want to overreact and be hyperbolic about 14 snaps in garbage time against a bad team, a very bad team, but Javon Solomon looked like the real deal. That looked like everything we saw in the summer at Fisher, you know, winning one-on-ones. You didn't want to overreact because it was against, you know, second-teamers, third-teamers. But he was flying around out there, and I think they could do some really creative things. I think he was always the plan to get him in the mix, and I wonder how much we see his role kind of ratchet up a little bit over the next couple of weeks. And he could be, you know, they're going to really rely on Smoot, Epinesa, Rousseau to set the edge against Lamar this weekend. I don't know if this is necessarily the matchup where you truly see if Solomon can make an impact earlier in the game. But yeah, that was some really good stuff out of him.
Last one for me, Matt, and for everybody that was not at the game last night, what was that stadium like when Hamlin makes the interception? The idea that this has now come full circle. You can even say, wait a second, he's playing at a better level right now, you could argue, Matt, than he ever has in this league.
I push back a little bit on that. And because I think we don't remember the good parts of his season before the injury. There were some really bad moments. Like, we've talked about this before. There were some moments where you're like, man, Micah Hyde's got to get back, or they got to figure out a different plan. But there are also some games where I thought, wait a second, there might be some things to build on here. I remember early in Taron Johnson's career. We don't talk enough about this on his arc. He was benched. He was benched for Cam Lewis a couple starts into his career, and people were wondering if he was ever going to get the job back. And luckily for him, Lewis got hurt. He goes back in the game and never relinquishes the job again. But I think that was a learning experience. He's a former sixth-round pick. He's not had a ton of action, you know, at safety because Hyde and Poyer were here. That was his big sample size. So the fact that he's playing really good football, the thing that's really stood out to me, too, is his willingness as a tackler. I mean, that penalty that he had in that game yesterday, he put a thud on the, I can't remember who it was now, might have been Christian Kirk, but man, he came flying to the ball and really met him with physicality. And those were always going to be the plays that you're like, man, when he's in those moments, when he's got a guy coming across the middle, or he's got to close in on a guy in open space and really lay the boom as a safety, what's the mental part of it? And he's shown literally zero fear or holding back or reservations. That to me is like such a cool feeling. You ask what it was like in the building. It was a celebration from the beginning to the end because they started scoring right away. But it was just a little bit extra special when you realize that was number three and you look down on the sideline and he's coming off. And usually guys will just kind of run through a line, dap up everybody, but it's almost like Hamlin's dapping up everybody. And as he's going to the bench, everybody that didn't get a dap was following him behind him to try to get an embrace or a high five or a hug. It was just a cool moment, and having it be on Monday Night Football on national TV for everybody to kind of celebrate it, that was pretty sweet.
And Matt, one last one. All's well that ends well, because he ends up getting his first NFL touchdown. Is there anything to the benching of Keon Coleman, who we didn't see early in the game yesterday?
You know what? I think that's really interesting across the board. I think the first piece of it was, number one, how open Sean McDermott was about it. Like, almost like, okay, he was late to something. He was publicly reprimanded for it. You know, it kind of feels, and I don't want to put anything on them, but it almost feels like you're going to do it our way or there's going to be consequences. And it never felt like, really, I know there's a completely different situation. This is a rookie 21-year-old kid. Stephon Diggs was a $25, $28 million a year guy. But it never felt like there was ever consequences the Bills can levy against that guy, right? Like, because he was larger than life. He was the offense for a long time. You know, you're paying him all this money. And I almost feel like Sean McDermott, part of the organizational shift has been to say, no, we're going to be a team first, no matter what. And if you don't fall into that, there's going to be consequences. And I think I also like the fact that Sean came out and said, yeah, we handled it. We gave a punishment, but we're also using this as a learning experience because through it, Keon realized how important it is to be there for his teammates. And I thought it was interesting that he also used that specific quote to talk about the situation. Then you see Coleman on the side. I got the binoculars out watching him down there. And he is like a caged animal ready to get out on that field. And when he gets out there, man, four plays into it, he finds a way to get that touchdown. So who knows? Maybe that's the kind of thing, after going 91% of the snaps in Miami without a catch, maybe this unlocks Keon a little bit at a very important time. I'd expect him to be a big part of things next week.
Short week here, Matt, as tomorrow back at practice. And what does that mean in terms of the shoutcast and things you got coming up here in Syracuse.com we can check out?
Yeah, so we got we're going to be covered with pretty much content out the wazoo this week. We'll have I'm hanging out with Trey Wingo tomorrow.
No kidding.
That'll be cool. Doing a little bit of a podcast with him, so that'll be up later this week. Then I got we got the live show on Wednesday. As always, they're doing a walkthrough tomorrow, so it'll be a little bit different. We won't see practice. And then we'll have our official preview show probably Friday or Saturday. I'll be down in Baltimore on Saturday night, and then it's party time, another primetime game. This is the grind, boys. Like, this is the primetime early season grind, but we got flowers and sunshine on the other side of this thing because we got a lot of 1 o'clock games in the second half.
Now, did you say that Miller, you asked Miller about wearing the autograph merch? Because I think it's such a power move. I think he's starting a trend, and I'm all in. I'm about to start wearing some of my own autograph merch as well just to follow suit.
So you have autographed merch?
No, I will autograph my own ball caps.
You're just going to sign some stuff now and just start to follow
wear it.
The trend.
And just wear it. Yeah, just I think it's such a power move. I think he's starting a trend, and I'm willing to follow him lockstep. I think it's amazing.
Can you guys both sign a station hat, send that to me, and I'll actually wear Dangers on the Shout podcast? I'll probably give Gino's away to like some of the kids on the street or something, but just send it along. We'll see what we can do with it.
Step one is getting a station ball cap. Let's see what we can wrangle up in our budget, Matt. We appreciate you bringing that up. Dude, thanks for everything, man. Appreciate the time, as always. Great job covering the team, and we'll be following along this week. Take care, guys. There he is, Matt Parrino, Syracuse.com, and the Shout podcast. Worth checking out here if you're a Bills fan throughout the course of the week.
He's mentioning all these 1 o'clocks. No, there's flex scheduling. Like, I don't know what these 1 o'clock games he's talking about. The Dolphins will be one, the Colts and the Titans, but you've got games in Seattle, Detroit, the Chiefs, the Rams,
it's
4 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, we're excited now through 3 weeks of the NFL season, right? You forget. Like, this is it's a marathon. It's a roller coaster ride, and it's a marathon. It goes on and on and on. So where you might be the toast of the town after week 3, you watch out. I mean, it can change really quickly around here.
Nobody's winning anything in September, but you can fall out of it, though. And what I saw out of Jacksonville, a team that had everything to kind of play for and say everything is right, you're now 0-3.
Cooked.
Yeah, they're done.
Bengals, cooked. Cooked. Bad vibes. Really, really bad. We got some takes coming up. We've got Michael F. Florio. We'll talk some fantasy football in the 4 o'clock hour as well. We have time for your calls. If you want to join us, feel free. 866-4326. 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.